As most of you know, I'm a big fan of the outdoors, and most of my time is dedicated to beekeeping and gardening-related discussions. But you probably did not know that one of my responsibilities as a kid was caring for our houseplants. Yes, part of my $5 a week allowance went towards making sure all of the houseplants were healthy and happy. We used to have shamrocks, Christmas cactus, philodendron, and more. Which leads us to today's podcast sponsor and a special thanks to Palm Street. Palm Street is the best live shopping app for the plant lover community. You can buy and sell rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods. Connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. Shop 24/7 and with live human customer support. What I love most about Palm Street is joining a live stream where sellers walk through all the details and characteristics of the plants they're offering. You can get live answers to your questions and see what questions others have asked as well. It's such a great way to engage for buyers and sellers. And as a special offer, new users will receive $5 app credit, 10% off their first order, and up to $6 off shipping for 3 orders. Palm Street, available on Google Play or the App Store. When I was little, my grandmother had bird feeders and a bird bath in her backyard. Some of my favorite memories growing up were listening to her tell me everything she knew about the feathered friends that visited her yard daily. How amazing would it have been for us to be able to capture images and videos of that experience and to be able to share them with others? Well, if you're ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level, FeatherSnap makes Wi-Fi-enabled smart bird feeders that blend the best of technology and nature. Get a high-def glimpse of your feathered friends with a top-of-the-line camera so every visitor can be seen with clarity and detail. A unique dual-feeder bin helps attract more species, and built-in solar panels keep your camera's battery going strong. FeatherSnap's mobile app creates a truly immersive experience, allowing you to collect and organize your favorite pics and videos and earn badges along the way. Best of all, FeatherSnap offers expert-trained AI identification of more than 275 North American species thanks to their in-house ornithologist. Check them out today at FeatherSnapCam.com. That's FeatherSnapCam.com. Hey everybody, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Today is going to be episode 6 of Bees in the News. I've got a pretty busy week going on this week. The fee beekeeper is graduating high school on Friday, so I got to roll through these pretty quickly, but I wanted to make sure I got this out to you, and I'm still going to try to get her to get on here before she officially graduates. But let's jump into the first article. All right, this is coming to us out of Boston. And right next to this article, the Celtics apparently took a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. Game 3 is Wednesday in Dallas. Anyway, it's on the same page, so I figured I'd throw that out there. But the news, if you want to be, B-E-E, if you want to be, for $25, residents across Boston can now own a backyard beehive. It's thanks to a change made to the city's zoning code last month, which allows wannabe beekeepers in any of Boston's neighborhoods to purchase a $25 permit to keep beehives on their property. Interested? Here are a few things to know. They go through a couple of bullets around the history, how beekeeping's been regulated in the past, what you have to do now, how you get started. The last bullet says, you know, hey, you're not ready for a hive, but you still want to help the bees thrive. They have a couple of links and people you can contact and different things. So anyway, it's a pretty brief article, and nobody wants to have to pay $25 to get a permit, but if you get to keep bees, you do what you got to do, right? Now, I'm not going to tell you all the ways you can work around that, you know, taking one box and stacking it really high and having multiple colonies facing different directions. We're not going to talk about ways to circumvent that. Okay, next article coming to us out of Norman, Oklahoma. Pollinator Week 2024 to include nature walks, beekeeping instructional, scavenger hunt, and more. Norman, Oklahoma, the Division of Environmental Resilience and Sustainability of the City of Norman has coordinated with community partners to plan another week of activities in celebration of Pollinator Week 2024. Events will take place June 15th through the 22nd of 2024 and are open to all. During Pollinator Week, awareness is raised for pollinators, creatures such as bees, bats, birds, and butterflies that carry pollen from plant to plant to help fertilize and grow them, ultimately benefiting human life and development. Of the 1,400 crop plants grown around the world, almost 80% require pollination by animals. We're starting the party a little early in Norman compared to the kickoff of the national observance, said Michelle Loudenbach, division manager. That's only appropriate, as excited as we are about all things pollinators in the city of Norman. We're looking forward to a great and educational time with residents and visitors. Participants are encouraged to dress appropriately for all activities. No pre-registration is required. Water coolers will be available to refill water vessels. So there you go. Saturday, June 15th, it's going to kick off at 9 p.m. at Ruby Grant Park. That's going to be 3110 West Franklin, 36th Avenue, West Playground area. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on. The link will be on the Beekeeping for Newbies website under the In the News section. Next article is coming to us from somebody who was originally based in North Carolina here. I'm not going to read the whole article, but it's an interesting article around what they call neonics or neonicotinoids. These are the pesticides and things that are used very commonly throughout the world in agriculture. So the article starts off, "For years at our farm in central North Carolina, we fed ourselves from our gardens and orchard. We had plenty of food to share, courtesy of the native bees here. Our apple, blueberry, squash, and plants all relied upon insect pollination to make fruit. Then in 2017, our harvests were interrupted because the bees disappeared." So again, it goes through, it talks about the neonics being the most common type of insecticide. The one fact I really wanted to hit you with here that I thought was pretty impactful. "During my investigation, I followed the work of insect scientists and beekeepers who for over 15 years had raised the alarm that overuse of neonics was a major cause of insect deaths around the world. This startling decline in populations of pollinators and other insects led to the term insect apocalypse. Scientists' work pointed the way to what had happened at our farm. An analysis of water samples from the wetland revealed a particularly persistent neonic." Here it goes, folks. This is the one I wanted you to pay attention to. "Neonics are so potent that a single treated corn seed contains enough insecticide to kill more than 80,000 honeybees. If a bee doesn't die right away, its ability to reproduce, gather food, and fight off disease can be damaged. Among bees, neonic exposure is cumulative. If a meal of contaminated nectar sickens a bee, additional feedings may kill it. Neonics infuse all part of exposed plants and persist in the soil. They can poison native bee adults and their young as well, disrupting or eliminating whole family lines." Anyway, interesting article about this. I don't know what the answer is and the solution is to addressing this on a larger scale for big agricultural operations. But like I've mentioned several times before, you know, if you're a small-time hobbyist or a commercial person, either way, I think it's critically important that you, you know, make friends with the local farmers and producers and try to see if you can get ahead of these things before they become problematic. Okay, next on the list. Now, this is not specific to bees and pollinators, but it does have an impact to them if you stay with me for a second here. East Coast on alert. Now, when they say East Coast, they're talking about the East Coast of the United States. "East Coast on alert as flying Joro spiders make their advance north. Lynchburg, Virginia, if you're afraid of spiders, there may be some bad news coming your way. The Joro spider is a large black and yellow parachuting spider that's currently making its way up the East Coast. Joro spiders make large, 3 feet wide webs and can balloon through the air, making it look like they're flying. Quote, it's a rather large spider, number one, so it can be a bit of a shock to see one. Number two, they have a unique ability to, for lack of a better word, fly. They're able to use their webbing and the strands of silk that they can spin to appear that they're actually flying, although they're actually ballooning through the air, Scott Baker, an extension agent with the Virginia Cooperative Extension, said. While I have not seen one in person yet, I suspect that it's pretty shocking. They're an invasive species out of Asia, but they've been in the U.S. for years, living mainly in northeast Georgia. Like a lot of these invasive species, the risk is really the risk to the environment, not risk to us as humans, he said. Because they are non-native and they are a predator insect, we do need to be watchful to if they're going to be problematic for some of our desirable beneficial insects like honeybees and other pollinators they feed on. So interesting article. I've seen a picture of them. They're a little bit creepy looking, but they kind of look very similar to the big garden spiders. They always show up at my house around late July, early August, something like that. And they usually stay around until the first frost, but I leave them alone. But I definitely don't want them hanging out around my beehives. Okay, last on the list. This is coming to us out of the UK. How to spot an Asian hornet and what to do if you find one. As it emerges that Asian hornets have survived a UK winter for the first time, here's how to identify them in your garden and what to do. The invasive Asian hornets that are posing a deadly threat to the UK's bee population have a distinctive low hum that sends a chill up the spine, it has been claimed. A BBC Radio 2 listener named Drew from Derbyshire, who has property in France, contacted the Jeremy Vine Show on Tuesday to say that the hornet makes a growling rather than a buzzing sound. He told the program, you hear this drone noise like a growl, totally different from a bee. When you hear them, it does sort of send a chill up your spine. It's like a growl. It's a lot deeper, a bass-like sound. It comes after DNA analysis showed that Asian hornets, which can eat up to 50 bees a day, have survived a British winter for the first time, sparking fears they could remain here permanently. DNA samples from hornets were collected in traps in Four Oaks in Kent, which had been installed by the National Bee Unit. The samples showed the hornets to be the offspring of a nest that was destroyed in November of 2023 in the nearby town of Rye. The British Beekeepers Association is trying to locate other nests before new Asian hornet queens are produced. A single nest can produce as many as 350 queens. Master beekeeper Lynn Ingram of the Somerset Beekeepers Association told the BBC, "We know that some of the nests we found last year, the queens have already been produced. And they leave the nests and they go into hibernation for the winter, and they're very difficult to find. The sting from an Asian hornet, while painful, poses no great threat to humans, but they are deadly to honeybees and other native pollinators." So there's a little bit more to the article. Definitely worth the read, especially if you're in the UK. If you haven't seen the video, there is a pretty crazy video on YouTube about an Asian hornet, like a giant, I think it's the giant Asian hornet that is actually attacking a beehive, and just how devastating that it is. I think there's maybe a dozen and a half, maybe two dozen of these giant Asian hornets that show up and they just decimate the whole hive. But there's also other videos of another breed. I don't remember off the top of my head. I want to say it was like a Japanese honeybee that kind of figured out the formula, and it's basically surround the hornet, start vibrating, create a whole bunch of heat, and basically fry the hornet with heat because the honeybees can tolerate a maximum temperature of, let's say, like, you know, 100 degrees, and the Asian hornet can only go to 97, something like that. So whatever it is, they make things hotter than the hornet can tolerate, and they kill it. Really cool and neat. I'll try to see if I can find a link to that and post that somewhere in our Discord room. Well, folks, I know it was a little bit quick today. Like I said, Phoebe's graduating here, and we've got family in town. We got family coming to town. We got a lot of stuff going on. I hope all you're well. Stay out of trouble. Be good. And remember, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Talk to you soon.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.